our next guest helped create a global survey on well-being and burnout during COVID-19. 89% of respondents said their work life was getting worse. 85% said their well-being had declined. About half said their job demands had increased during the pandemic. Our guest says the pandemic has shined a light on the already existing problem of burnout in our work lives and made it worse. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been feeling burnout with your work lately, longer than just lately? Has your work life gotten harder or easier in the last year? Do you feel like your workload is unsustainable? If you run a workplace as a manager, a business owner, or what have you found ways to help your team deal with burnout? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jennifer Moss is a speaker and expert on burnout and well-being at work. She's the author of the forthcoming book, The Burnout Epidemic, out in September, and she wrote the piece Beyond Burned Out for the Harvard Business Review. Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Jennifer, I think when we say burnout at the workplace, people kind of have a sense, maybe even a vivid feeling of what that's like. What do we mean when we say burnout?
Well, burnout has just been recently defined by the World Health Organization in 2019, actually, as an occupational phenomenon. It's basically unmanaged stress, chronic stress at work that has been left over time to essentially fester into burnout. So what is so important about the WHO definition is that it actually did try to distinguish it as, you know, this workplace phenomena. But essentially, it's just over time, just having these unsustainable workloads, feeling a lack of control at work, feeling like there's insufficient rewards for effort. There's just a lack of close friends at work or a supportive community, lack of fairness and mismatched values and skills. Those are the six root causes of burnout at work.
And Jennifer, you were raising the alarm about burnout before the pandemic. How much worse have things gotten? I shared a few of your statistics from your survey there. How much worse is burnout now in this COVID-19 world?
You know, essentially, it's like we lit a match to a workforce in drought. And, you know, crises tend to exacerbate existing problems, and burnout has been a big problem because it really is systemic issues that are causing people to be burnout. So this has been a long, you know, journey in the process to 2020 and 2021. But in the epidemic, we just basically catapulted the future of work from, you know, the future to the present. And so all of those broken systems were stress tested and all of them failed.
And you used a key word there in your writing, systemic. There's been a lot of talk about how to deal with burnout as individuals and self-care and maybe therapy, whatever. And that's all important stuff. But you think we need a more systematic solution. What kind of changes do you think need to be made?
You know, this has been a big part of the conversation that I've tried to shift and sort of rethink the way that leaders and organizations and employees feel about burnout. And that is, you know, it's really important to have self-care when we're looking at optimization. When we have a well-being strategy, we have tactics that manage for people's, you know, happiness and mental health and taking them sort of from good to great. So, you know, exercises and, you know, breathing and subsidized gym memberships and yoga and well tech, all of that is really great for optimization, but they are not a burnout prevention strategy. So there's, you know, well-being strategy and a burnout prevention strategy. A burnout prevention strategy is, you know, really looking at the big root causes that are way further tackled upstream. When we're talking about, you know, people overworking and they're at 60 hours a week, or they've been micromanaged, or they're being bullied at work, you know, you can't suggest that listening to rain for 30 seconds is going to be the solution to these major problems that need to be dealt with in a much bigger way. And so I think it's just tone deaf when leaders suggest these things, and we need to get better at not individualizing the problem of burnout, but making it about a holistic sort of all around company-wide problem where the employee and the employer come together to fix it.
Talking to Jennifer Moss, expert on burnout, author of the forthcoming book, The Burnout Epidemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, thoughts, and experiences on being burned out at work. We heard from Scott in Menominee, who says, how much do other responsibilities of daily life, like parenting or extracurricular activities, contribute to burnout? A hot question, especially with a lot of at-home school going on, Jennifer.
Well, I think what's so interesting is that when we describe it, you know, burnout as an occupational phenomena, we're not identifying the space where that exists. And I think this year, for example, instead of working from home, we're living at work. Everything is just culminated into this space. And so external pressures play a big role. I mean, we've even seen just a year of chronic stress change the way our brains are responding to, you know, workload. We're being sort of taxed and working more hours to get to those pre-COVID goals and working 30% more hours per day. We've added an extra 48 minutes to our workday. We've increased meetings, the number of meetings by 24% just in this last year. So there's so many other things that are happening. And we're also just dealing with the impact mentally of chronic stress. So everything is tiring. We're less engaged. We have a harder time getting up and getting motivated in the morning. I mean, there's so many things that are impacting our well-being. And then we add this expectation of working at the same levels like business as usual pre-COVID. And it turns it into a really unsustainable problem.
How do you go to somebody who maybe owns or runs a business and says, I don't see the problem. Yeah, people are working a little more. The job is getting done. The revenue is still flowing. So why should I fix what ain't broke from that perspective? What would you say to that executive who isn't feeling that, maybe just that sheer empathy for their employees?
Well, I love that you said the word empathy, because so much of what I write about in the book is if we actually just changed our organizations and our leaders to be human-centered, really, and driven by empathy, we would catch a lot of these problems further upstream. Because if we just sort of measure success with these engagement metrics, you know, productivity metrics, we're sort of shipping product and we're still, you know, showing up to work, we're missing the downstream impact of people actually getting very unwell. And when you know, actually take someone to the point of burnout, the rebound could be 18 months to 2 years of that employee being either lost completely, that talent's gone, or being on mental health or disability leave. There's a lot of implications from a revenue and financial standpoint from, you know, for businesses and leaders of organizations to be thinking about. But it's more about just like, what is the goal here? You want to retain your employees. You want to make sure that they're healthy and happy because they are more productive and they are better for the organization overall. And so that attitude is just a win-win overall for the success of any company.
We're talking to Jennifer Moss, a speaker and expert on burnout and well-being at work. She wrote a piece for the Harvard Business Review called Beyond Burned Out. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you wish your employer would have done differently in this last year? What kind of shakeups did you see at your workplace? Are you working more because of COVID? Did you feel burned out already pre-COVID, 2019? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or have you found solutions? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Jennifer Moss, a speaker and expert on burnout and the workplace, and the author of a forthcoming book on that subject. You can find a piece she wrote for Harvard Business Review, Beyond Burned Out. And you can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Are you now or have you ever experienced workplace burnout? What was it like? What caused that problem for you? Too much work? A sense that your thoughts and decisions didn't matter? Was there something that fixed it for you? On the other side, if you manage people, how have you tried to help deal with and prevent workplace burnout? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Jennifer, something I keep hearing when I talk to people at the workplace is the importance of people having a sense of power and autonomy at the workplace. And you write that's part of the puzzle here with burnout. What does that mean?
Yes, definitely. One of the root causes is perceived lack of control, which is essentially feeling like you have no agency or choice, that you're being micromanaged. And it's interesting because both the person that's being micromanaged and the micromanager are more prone to burnout, because you want to feel like, you know, you have some agency or some ability to make decisions about how you do your work or how you get to your goals. And so what's happened during the pandemic is that a lot of managers who used to feel like, you know, if I see you, that means you're working, they've had to go in this totally different direction where they're managing remote teams. And so I think employees and individuals have felt like maybe their manager has been really on top of them. I have one example of one company that basically, if you were off of Slack for 5 minutes, you had to tell people you were going to be away from the social collaboration chat. And, you know, people feeling like they have to put up their hand to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's just a really interesting environment right now. So we've seen that kind of need for control really increasing through the pandemic.
How does an organization break that micromanagement culture habit?
Well, you know, you really do have to have trust, because trust is one of the most important sort of antidotes or prophylaxes to burnout. The more that you have trust within coworkers, so you all trust each other, or you trust your boss trusts you, what happens is that you just have more cohesion, you have more psychological safety, people feel like they can talk openly about their ideas, they feel more supported. So all of this stuff just increases, success in an organization. I had the chance to talk with the chief people officer of Hewlett Packard, who'd been working through, you know, COVID. He had 60,000 employees. And so what he did was just made everything sort of open for discussion, and social collaboration sort of chats became part of their everyday. And people that wanted to talk about parenting and needed tips, they connected online. And then people that were singles, that were living in small, you know, apartments and trying to work in this environment, connected. And so just opening people up to talk about what they need to, and creating relationships and healthy, trusting relationships, that is really critical to beating burnout inside of organizations.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Beaver Dam. Jim, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call.
What do you want to tell us about, Jim?
Well, I used to work union construction, and so I've worked jobs that we pull 7/13s, which that's 7 days a week, 13 hours a day. And wow. At first, the burnout hit immediately, and it was hard to carry through. They were short-lived jobs, of course. But about the second job, I started realizing that I had stopped looking at the work the way – okay, so – I look at things like my what I produce is a reflection on me, you know. And as soon as I started getting back into looking at, you know, how I was doing things and making sure that I was happy with what I was doing, and got away from looking at what other people were doing around me, you know. And then there's also, I like staying busy because it makes a day go by fast. And once I started getting back into thinking about things like that, I lost the burnout. It really didn't affect me at all.
Jim, just before I let you go, was part of that just that, you know, you were doing construction, you were building a thing, you could see the product of your work, like, growing right in front of you?
I build power plants, so yes and no.
Okay. Jim, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I don't know. So Jim got into a flow there, but still 7 times 13 is a lot there, Jennifer.
Yeah. I mean, from one standpoint, it is a lot of work. But what we have found in our research, which I love that Jim talked about this, is that you can craft, it's called job crafting, which is essentially this ability to mind shift how you think about work and what you think is your purpose, and if there's meaning in your work. It is an actual, like I said, a protector for burnout. We found that purpose-driven roles, as long as it's not obsessive, it's in that harmonious stage, which is the healthy place that you want to be, like Jim's describing, it can really be an antidote for burnout. So he sort of figured out how to job craft his role so that it provides a more meaning. And I think when we can provide that, again, if we can offer that to employees to be able to do that on their own and give them the trust that they can figure that out, it will really help to prevent burnout inside of organizations.
Jim, thanks for that call. We'll go to Jackie in Appleton next. Jackie, hello.
Hi. So I just wanted to say that since COVID hit, my full-time job essentially went down to 0 hours, and then eventually I went back part-time, but it wasn't enough to pay the bills. And so I lost all of my benefits and my full-time work, and I'm now working 4 part-time jobs to make ends meet. Last summer, I applied to hundreds of jobs. Looking for a job became my job. And I was only interviewed by a handful of people, most of which offered me about 1/4 of what my income was. And so this is the route I had to go. I know I can't keep up at this rate. I've been able to maintain the sanity barely, but the yoga and the Epsom salt baths and all those wonderful things have held me over, but they're definitely not the solution here.
Jackie, thank you so much for sharing that story. Jennifer, I think of burnout as one person, one job, and maybe they're working too many hours, 60 hours a week. Jackie, not an uncommon scenario. She's having to piece together a whole bunch of different jobs, which brings its own levels of burnout, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate Jackie sharing that story, because in the research and across, lots of other data and research that we've seen this year, women have been disproportionately impacted, and we're seeing women actually being sort of pulled out of the labor force in dramatic ways that are going to impact the future of work for so many. And we're seeing this cobbling together of sort of women getting back into the workforce with these multiple jobs, working extended hours, dealing with all the other stressors of, juggling family life or whatever other things that they have to, the roles that they play, as caregivers and in their personal lives. And so we're really, watching this trend and making sure that it's not a big problem, but, or that we're going to solve it because it's a big problem. But what Jackie's saying is not atypical, and something that, that we all have to be really hyper-vigilant around, understanding that this is a potential problem that's going to impact the workforce for decades.
Jackie, thanks for the call. And Jennifer, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Moss is an expert on burnout and well-being at work. She's the author of the upcoming book, The Burnout Epidemic. You can find her piece at the Harvard Business Review, Beyond Burned Out.